This is the Blaze Radio on demand. Don't miss the Morning Blaze with Doc and Skip.
I will not be satisfied in this case until Lois Lerner and others go to prison. Lois Lerner was allowed to stay on the payroll for a couple of extra months so she would get an even bigger retirement. And now she's sitting her fat ass at her home in Richmond, sucking off of her retirement that she got from public tax dollars.
The Morning Blaze with Doc and Skip. Weekday morning, 6 to 9 Eastern on the Blaze Radio Network. Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, welcome to it. Welcome to Saturday. Glad you made it to the Chris Salcedo Show. Welcome to those of you who may be discovering this program for the very first time here on the Blaze Radio Network. Reason I'm saying that, folks, is because last night, because of the gracious invite from the Kelly File and also a referral from the program's very good friend Ruben Navarrete Jr., we were able to get onto the Kelly File and have a debate with Alan Combs. You know what? I'm taking a call right now from Skip Lacombe. I was just trying to dial Skip, and I'm going to see if I can interface him right now with what's going on my makeshift board in front of me, and see if I can get Skip Lacombe on to have a conversation with us. Skip, are you there, sir?
I am. What is going on, Mr. Salcedo?
You are live on the air, and look, I wanted to tell you, I wanted to get you or either Doc on because you guys had some technical difficulties. And Ty, do me a favor, bring down the music for me just a little bit, brother. So I just don't want Skip's cell phone connection here to drop out. And I know you guys are down there doing some important work, and I didn't want the technical issues to define what you guys are doing down there today. So I wanted to set aside a little time on the show to basically let you get the word out, at least over the cell phone, give the folks the 411. I know you guys managed to get to what you snuck in about an hour right before the gremlins kicked in.
Yeah, we got just under 2 hours. We missed the first hour, and then our connection dropped in the very final segment of the show. But we had a great time as the march was going on. I mean, there's probably somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people. I don't have an official count on the march. Last I heard, they were just undersold out. There were still some tickets available, not quite sold out. But, yeah, it's going to be a great event. You know what I love about it, though, more so than anything, is the attitude of people around here. Everywhere you walk around, people just have smiles on their face, Chris. It's so nice to be around. If you have never been at one of these Glenn Beck or Mercury-type events, you've got to find a way to get to one, because the fellowship you have with people, like-minded people, good people who just all want to get together and get their message heard. I mean, one of the things we were saying on our show, too, is how, I mean, the whole idea of this is hashtag never gonna now and hashtag all lives matter. How is it offensive to tell people that all lives matter? It's not. It should be automatic. But no, for some reason, the Black Lives Matter people try to use that as a, well, you're trumping us, saying that our lives don't matter. No, you're not listening. We're saying all lives matter. We need to, as a society, stop putting people into little tiny categories and treating them differently. You know, everybody is the same. We want equality. That's what we're looking for.
You know, Skip, on this program, we have really taken all lives matter, and I've changed their, I'm sorry, Black Lives Matter. We've changed their names courtesy of our friend up in Milwaukee, Sheriff David Clark. Also has a podcast right here on the Blaze. He calls them Black Lives Matter because the entire movement is predicated on a falsehood, on a lie. And when these individuals who I've classified as the real racists, when they boo and they hiss and they condemn the phrase all lives matter, that tells me all I need to know about these people. They're dividers, they're hate-filled people. And, you know, we have seen evidence of these types of individuals here recently with two very high profile shootings, one in South Carolina, yeah, one in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
So,
it's sad. It's sad. And see, that's the problem with it, is that their narrative of, oh, Black Lives Matter and these protests, this all started, this really all came and started up with Michael Brown back in Ferguson a year and a couple months ago. This is actually starting to become dangerous because it's not just nonviolent activism protests. So this narrative that they're going out and spinning is getting people killed now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's not the original people who are going out there and putting their hands up and trying to march for peace, But those people saying that, spinning people up, is the Al Sharpton of the world going out and continuing this. We had that in Ferguson, too, with a stepdad saying, burn this mother effer down. It's a slippery slope when you start trying to piss people off like this.
Yeah,
and that's why we're standing up today. That's why we're here in Birmingham saying that never again is now. This crap needs to stop happening because it's not that Black Lives Matter. It's not that White Lives Matter or Yellow Lives or Purple Lives. It's all lives matter.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And, you know, the people who built this, if I can use some of the Obama administration's vernacular, who built this, it's the Democrat Party. They built this beast.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can't control it. And now they're showing up to their events, stealing their microphones, trying to steal their events. I mean, Hillary Clinton just had another. She had an encounter not only with Black Lives Matter, but the transgendered Black Lives Matter, which I had no idea they had a division. They had
Trans Lives Matter now.
I couldn't believe it. I said, I was looking at my producers here during the week saying, did you guys know there was a Black Lives Matter transgender division? And they looked at me with a shrug of her shoulder. I had no idea that these people existed. So at any rate.
I'll tell you, actually, next weekend, I'm actually going to an event too. For Filipino tilt-a-whirl operators matter.
Really?
It's really going to be big. We're saying never again is now because Filipino tilt-a-whirl lives matter, you know? For so long, these carnies out there operating the tilt-a-whirl, it's never again is now. We're not going to ignore them anymore because Filipino tilt-a-whirl operator lives matter, okay?
Mm-hmm. I understand, you know? But you know what? I think that in and of itself is kind of racist because you ignore all the other carnies, I mean, that are really, they really put in a hard day's work. I mean, that might be construed as preferential treatment toward one aspect of the tilt-a-whirl. I mean, you really got to include all of these folks. I mean,
Chris,
what about the...
I'm sorry. I've got to interrupt you there, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the C word like that. It's people of carny descent, okay? We're no longer using just the C word. It's people of carnival descent. I don't want to hear that carny word anymore. Okay?
I stand corrected. I stand completely... hemmed in by political correctness. But again, I don't want you to ignore the guys who have to sweat it out and populate the shoot the water through the clown booth and blow up and pop the balloon. Those folks, they are hardworking people with a great ethic, and it is wrong of you, I think, to eliminate the clown balloon water pistol blow up people in this whole conversation.
We can't forget the people that glue the milk cartons together too. You know, so when you hit them down with the ball.
No, those people.
They
are,
all matter.
No, wait a minute. Those people are crooked. I don't know if we want to. Those people.
See, I mean, this is joking, and we're having fun with this too. But I mean,
yeah.
This is serious. I mean, there's it's satire, but there's a serious message behind this that we need to, as a society, stop putting people into these little tiny categories. I mean, we need to celebrate diversity and celebrate that, but we can't be like, oh, okay, this is Black, so we have to treat it like this, or this is White, so we have to treat it like this. There cannot be different standards for different people. We need to get past that.
Hey, do me a favor. Tell Doc I said howdy, and hope all is well with the family and Glenn and everybody else who's out there at this event. I wish I'm out there with you guys in spirit, and that's why I wanted to carve out some time here at the beginning of the show, again, because you guys are plagued with some technical issues, but also to say your liberty-loving Latino is in solidarity with you guys out there, okay?
No, yeah, I appreciate it. I was running around a lot during the broadcast, too, trying to get some guests set up and getting things done, trying to get a whole lot of time, too, so I'm glad you gave me a chance to kind of give my thoughts on this whole thing, too, because, again, too, these Glenn Beck events, these Mercury events are always spectacular. I can't wait to get back into the arena and see everything.
All right, brother. And hey, you know, you never need an invitation. You just call me up and you're on. You know that, right?
I'm going to take you up on that sometime.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right.
Skip Lacombe, everybody, from the Doc and Skip Morning Show right here on the Blaze Radio Network. And doing some good work out there today. So let's see. How much time do I have? Well, I guess I can go to break right now. We have a pretty full show. And it got fuller after, as I was mentioning, the Chris Salcedo show was on the Fox News Channel last night on the Kelly File. And again, can't say thank you enough to those folks for extending the invite, and our friend Ruben Navarrete Jr. facilitating the introduction to the Kelly File and the Fox News family out there. So more to come right here on the Chris Salcedo show on the Blaze Radio Network. It's a jam-packed Saturday. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
The Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo.
I'm getting texts from Ramirez and from Kent. Mary Ramirez and Chad Kent, contributors here to the longtime contributors, the Chris Salcedo Show. And what? Were you trying to keep the Kelly file thing a secret? Without getting into too much detail about my day yesterday, folks, it was just one of the, I barely had time to tell my mom, you know, if my kids weren't with me and I didn't, and my wife didn't have to cut her day a little short just so I could make everything happen. They wouldn't have even known. So I got family from San Diego, and I was just writing back the producer, Kara, of the Kelly file and telling her I appreciated so much the invite, and how easy they made it for me just to go in there, sit down and blab away and have a conversation with Alan, a debate with Alan, really. And one of the aspects of this is when you get onto a platform like the Fox News Channel, where a lot of people watch, you, make a lot of new friends, and a lot more people are hip to the fact that you're there. And then you make a lot of adversaries, which is also a great deal of fun. But then you start hearing from folks that you haven't heard from in an awful long time. Old friends, people that you've lost touch with. And it's just, I got to say, that has just been a godsend. A lot of people that have been jumping onto Facebook, jumping onto Twitter and saying howdy. And names that I haven't heard, and we haven't touched base, and it's just great. It was a great thing, very positive experience. And as you all know, the message of this program, how dangerous it is to the American left, how if, and you know what, some of the people who reached out, and if I had a dollar for every time, I mean, and that, this goes from the shows that are in Houston, the shows that are in Dallas-Fort Worth, and here on The Blaze. If I had a dollar for every single time a Latino or Hispanic says, man, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one. Somebody in Massachusetts reached out to me and said, I'm swimming in this sea of liberalism. I feel alone. You're not alone. There is a story that I am fond of telling about back before I even got into talk radio. I was doing TV news, and there was a talk show host who is no longer on the air. Used to sub in for Rush a lot, Roger Hedgecock. Some of you may know his name. Turned out to be good friends, and I was a frequent guest in his program. And as a matter of fact, the first time I got behind the microphone as a talk show host was on his program out in San Diego. And he had sent me a flyer. He had received a notice from something that used to be called the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, RNHA. And this was a Republican group of Hispanics. Now, let me just tell you that it's a largely ineffectual, kind of a rubber stamp party apparatus group. It was started by the first George Bush. They don't get involved very much into party politics, very much into wait our turn, sit down and shut up kind of thing. Ineffectual. But what they did serve to tell me, and it was an epiphany, because here I am, a conservative Hispanic out in conservative San Diego. At the time, it was more conservative than it is today. And I'm thinking the same thing. I'm alone. And nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. There are, and I know this may come as a shock to many of you, there are many liberty-loving Latinos out there who adore the U.S. Constitution, who revere the United States of America, who understand the ramifications of a country of laws, a nation of laws, a government of, by, and for the people. And there are a lot of us out there. And dare I say, we broach on a majority of Hispanics. And some of these Hispanics who have never given politics a thought. I mean, the Latino community is just as reflective of the American community at large. You're going to have your extremist libs. You're going to have those who don't pay attention to politics and just go out there and want to provide for their family. You've got those who are on the conservative side, like yours truly. You've got those who have really never given it much thought. as far as politics and that they could make a difference until things start going bad. And the ones who have been really good at saying, we represent all Latinos, have been the loudmouth leftist Latinos. You know, I have always referred to them on this program. And I do not want to be confused with the loudmouth leftist Latinos. I am your liberty-loving Latino. I actually love the country. I say it as what we call in the business a bit of an imaging statement for the program, but it is also what I believe. And there is a line that needs to be drawn. I actually had a guy, Ty, you're going to love this. Had a guy, some left winger, Hispanic, call me a coconut. You know what a coconut is? It's the Latino equivalent of an Oreo. You know what an Oreo is?
Yes, I do. Yes.
So that is the left wing's attempt to shut people like Ty and people like me up, trying to say, don't you provide an alternative for us trying to say that if it's extremist left wing, it's black. If it's liberal, it must be Latino, right? No. We provide a counter to that, and we let folks know, you know what? It's okay to consider an alternative. And that's why this program is so dangerous to the American left wing. They've spent a lot of money and a lot of time trying to convince, in particular, white America, that all these Hispanics are nothing but extremist left wingers. And there are some, just look back at the Mitt Romney campaign. There are some who actually have fallen into this and believe it. So they don't even bother reaching out. They don't even bother extending a hand, saying, and looking around and then saying, oh, wait a minute. The RNHA, the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, not conservatives, they are Republican. Or the Conservative Hispanic Society, of which I am the executive director, CHS. Wait a minute. What? And is there a reason why we have on the Facebook pages about 7,000, 8,000 followers on two Facebook pages for CHS, the Conservative Hispanic Society? Yes, is because there are Latinos who are hungry for an alternative. They've seen the destruction the left wing provides to their community. And Ty, how many times have we talked about this on the program? How destructive the left wing has been to the black community.
Yeah, it's sad. It's horrendous.
And how many times I have said that the Hispanics owe the black community such a debt of gratitude for showing us the way not to go. You know, the undying devotion courtesy of the Sharptons and the Jacksons as they trade their communities, really sell their communities up the river for a seat at the Democrat table to take the scraps thrown to them at the Democrat table. There's more. There is more to it. And many in the black community, as a matter of fact, Ty, I don't know if you've been to the Facebook page lately. There is a guy, let me see if I can get here really quickly in the time we have before the break, that has been, and I can't remember this guy's name. I posted it and then never had a chance to cut it up because this is a 5 or 6 minute rant he goes on, and it's awe inspiring. And I'm scrolling down trying to find this guy. You saw this guy?
Yeah, I did.
Mason Weaver. You know who Mason Weaver is?
I do now.
Mason Weaver, what an outstanding individual. And I think I've heard Mason before on conservative talk. And here's a guy who is well underway in what I've called the Great Black Awakening, where after 60 years of rape and pillaging of the black community by the Democrat Party, where there people are going, wait a minute, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more to life than this. And Mason, you know what? I think I do remember Mason Weaver being out there in the public consciousness. So at any rate, this has been an extraordinary 24 hours. Again, hat tip and a thanks to the producers over the Kelly File, Shannon Brain for a well-balanced interview. And a very well-informed interview. And even to Alan Combs for making my jaw drop when I think that liberals can't say anything more untrue. Alan Combs always knocks it out of the park in that regard. Back in a minute on the on the Blaze Radio Network and the Salcedo Show.
You're listening to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
It's true, Ty. I did do my Obama impersonation. Did I tell? I've told you before. My wife hates that impersonation. She just can't. And I'm not sure if it's because she's grown so tired of Obama, or she doesn't like it, thinks my impersonation sucks, or what. But yeah, last night on this on the Kelly file, I impersonated Obama because, you know, remember his infamous words about no taxpayer money going to Obamacare. Right.
Yeah, complete, I remember that. Yeah.
Complete and utter lie. Of course, the money goes to these area clinics where illegal immigrants live, and illegal immigrants are going into these clinics and nobody's checking IDs. So, of course, American taxpayer money is going to the benefit of illegal immigrants. Of course it is. There's a prohibition on federal tax money going to illegal immigrants. There's no prohibition for state money or for city money to go to illegal immigrants. None. Zero. Nada. Unless those cities or states prohibit that.
Now, going back to this impression real fast, the wife's got to show you a little bit more love.
I see. She doesn't like. Well, she also doesn't like my liberal, mamby-pamby liberal voice either. When I imitate liberals and their objection to what I'm saying, she says it drives her up a wall. Now, she's not. Now, my wife is not my target demographic. thankfully, she's only an audience of one. And she sees this stuff. You got to understand, folks, she sees this stuff 24/7. So she doesn't like it when I get into show mode.
Yeah, my wife has done this. She said, what are you working on material? I go, no, this is how I find material. Laugh.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one. I wonder if Glenn goes through this. Or,
he,
you know.
He has to.
I wonder. Well, you know, because, you know, Glenn is so down to earth. And, you know, the other day, you know, can I tell you an inside story? I had a medical issue that I knew that he could, that I thought he could help me with. And I just said, hey, this is what's going on with me. If you have some time, he sends me back two long notes, detailed notes.
That's great. That's
just the kind of guy Glenn is. And he's, you know, it really ticks me off. And the same thing with Rush. When people demonize these individuals who don't even know them, it really ticks me off. Hey, look, I want to bring on a guest that the only problem with having Sarah Carter on the program, folks, is I could talk to her for an hour. It's when I get the rap sign and I have to stop talking to her because she's just darn good. National and international award-winning investigative reporter whose stories have ranged from national security and terrorism-related issues to groundbreaking immigration coverage. She has reported for the Los Angeles News Group, Washington Examiner, Washington Times. She spent the past year working along the southwest border covering national security for the hit TV documentary, For the Record. Sarah, welcome back to the Salcedo Show.
It's great to be back, Chris. Thank you so much. I love your impression, by the way.
See, you and I aren't married, so you can say that, and that's
why.
A good thing.
That's why.
Let me be clear.
My husband gets sick of my work, too. He's kind of like, oh, can we not talk about this anymore? It's TikTok terrorism through the ground.
That's right. When he gets tired of you, you come over to the show, and we'll get you on, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
The Mein Kampf of ISIS. This is something that, because of all of the, well, the presidential race going on, the Iran nuke deal, has been what's been going on with a growing, an ever growing threat. Everybody seemed to ignore this report that came out from AMI. So, what did it detail?
Well, you know, we obtained this 32-page Urdu language document from Pakistan. It's an Islamic State document, and it's fascinating because not even U.S. intelligence officials, others had not seen this document before, and it was significant because it came from that region. One U.S. intelligence official, in fact, several of them, described it as like the Mein Kampf of, you know, like the Nazi party. You know, this is this ideology of the Islamic State. And it's really interesting, Chris, because it's their whole history, but it goes back even to the birth of Israel, and they talk about the fact that they exist because Israel exists. So they blame kind of everything on Israel. It's all the Jews' fault. You know, this is how they're perceiving it. And then again, it buttresses right off at being, you know, Israel's fault, the rise of their jihadi terror organizations and disrest in the world, to it being the West's fault and everyone else's fault that they are who they are and that they're fighting for their own right to establish a world of Sharia and Islamic caliphate. And they try to justify it by saying, well, if everybody followed Sharia, then there would be peace in the world.
Wow.
It's a very, and it's so significant because they talk about, we've talked about this before, about their battle plans, but they utilize Al-Qaeda's phases as their own. You know, they were very close to bin Laden. Zarqawi was very close. Zarqawi was the founder of Al-Qaeda Iraq with the blessing of bin Laden when bin Laden was alive. And Al-Qaeda Iraq is what evolved into Islamic State. Now, what's very interesting is they never fully adopted all of Al-Qaeda's belief systems. Al-Qaeda believed we got to take the U.S. down. We got to destroy the West. We've got to disable Europe. We've got to do that first before we go after our own Arab leadership. Whereas Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of Islamic State, believes, no, we'll go after the U.S. at the same time, but we want to destroy the Arab nations that are allies with the United States and Europe. We want to destabilize the entire region. And once the entire region is destabilized, only then can we go after the U.S. because they'll be so weak. So that was always the difference between those two groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed these really interesting phases. You know, Al-Qaeda, very early on in the 90s, developed this plan of action against the Western world. And they said phase one, it would be between 2000 and 2003, some territory or other, and this is coming from the document, was to be designated as a base from where the Mujahideen could organize. So that was Afghanistan, right? That's when Osama bin Laden decided that in the region he would hold Afghanistan as a place where he could train people, prepare people for battle against the West, and ultimately launch a mission. And it was called the Phase of Awakening, in which they would launch a major operation against the United States, and that was September 11th. So they followed through with phase one. And if you read all the phases of the plan, they've pretty much followed it to a T. Mm-hmm. And now we're in, I'm going to skip all those phases, but we're in phase five, and that was the establishment of a caliphate. And that's what Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi did. He said,
Hold on, so over. If we have the game plan, have you seen any evidence that Barack Obama and his administration are doing anything to thwart that game plan?
No. I mean, this is what's so crazy. I talk to U.S. intelligence personnel, military personnel on the ground. I'm going to be traveling into the Middle East soon. And there is no strategy in place yet that the president has initiated in order to tackle this growing threat from Islamic State and from other jihadist organizations that are joining them. And it's very, very dangerous, not just to the people who live under their thumb in the Middle East and in South Asia and in North Africa, but to the United States, directly to us and directly to our European allies and our Israeli allies.
Not to mention the other allies who are in the Gulf states. Let me reintroduce you. Sarah Carter.
That's right.
She is a national, international award-winning investigative reporter. She covers national security issues. You've seen her work all over the place. Washington Times, Washington Examiner, also American Media Institute, AMI. Good folks over there. Good friends of the program. Sarah, a couple of takeaways from what I just heard you talking about. Number one, that ISIS blames everybody else. The reason I can make this comparison is because Hillary Clinton made it okay this week when she compared Republicans to terrorists. It sounds an awful lot like ISIS has a lot in common with the American liberal. The American liberal never takes responsibility for themselves either. They always blame other people, Barack Obama and others. So it's a fair comparison, I think, number one. Number two, I think that where we are seeing the Obama administration touting for a while the 35 generals that came out and blessed their insane agreement with Iran on the nuke deal. And then we have 195 admirals and generals who just came out and said, no, it's a stinky deal, and urging Congress not to go for it. we're seeing this divide here among those who have the national security interest of our of the United States, our allies, both Israel and the Gulf state allies at heart, and those who do not. And it seems to me the American left is on the side of not protecting the interests of us and our allies. Is that a fair analysis?
I think that it is a fair analysis because it's a very dangerous time. The Iran deal, for example, what's happening with Islamic State in the Middle East and South Asia. You know, when we went into Afghanistan in 2001, we were going to destroy one major safe haven, Al-Qaeda's safe haven and the Taliban that was protecting them. That was our main goal. That was why we went there. Now, 15 years later, we have safe havens all across the globe. We're cutting a deal with Iran, who many U.S. intelligence personnel, military personnel, as you spoke, more than 190 that came out, said this deal is a no deal because we know they're going to violate it. We don't hold them accountable for anything. And not only that, it pushes more Sunni, disenfranchised Sunni Muslims, because Iran is a Shia state, into the hands of Islamic State, because they don't want to be under the thumb of Iran. And it also sets off a nuclear race in the Middle East. So we're at a point in time in our history that I think what can happen? Is there going to be an apex? Is there going to be a moment where all of a sudden we realize, okay, we've either been attacked, our European allies have been attacked. Can Islamic State get their hands on a weapon of mass destruction? Could they bring that into the United States? I mean, what's going to be the point where we see an administration take action?
I thought that time was 9/11. To be quite frank, I mean, I thought that's when we were awakened. But the Obama administration has undertaken an effort to lull us back to sleep. Sarah Carter, as I said, I could talk to you for an entire hour up against the clock here. Where can folks go if they want to read up on the Mein Kampf of ISIS?
Well, they can go to Israeli National News or AMI.com, AmericanMediaInstitute.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC.
All right, lady. Tell your husband he's a lucky fella. All right, and
he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
And we'll talk to you again, Sarah Carter. Everybody, thank you very much for being here on the Salcedo Show on the Blaze. Back in a minute, everybody. Stick with me.
The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo
is on the Blaze Radio Network.
Most of the people who come to this country are working and paying taxes. They are not a drain. They contribute more economically to this country than they take out of this country. They don't get Medicare. They don't get Medicaid. They don't get Social Security. Yet many of them pay into I'm not done. They pay into it, but they don't get those benefits, and they live under the radar. They can't go to emergency rooms. They're afraid to call the cops
now,
for domestic disputes.
They go to emergency rooms. That is a fact.
Wait. They do go to emergency rooms. As a matter of fact, Obamacare, I mean, the big promise from Obamacare, let me be clear, no taxpayer money will go to illegal immigrants. And they go into these public or in these community health care centers, and nobody's checking IDs there, Alan. So, yes, the American taxpayer money is going to illegal immigrant communities. You're lying to yourself.
Don't say I'm lying.
And then he pulls out the liberal victim card. That was your humble host here on the Kelly File last night, Shannon Bream, guest hosting, delightful individual, good, strong journalist, and Alan Combs. And then there's Alan Combs. You notice how he took offense, Ty, of me saying he was lying to himself, which is another way of saying you're delusional. Not that I wasn't calling, and some people, some of the left wingers, you were very rude to Alan by calling him a liar. I said, and this person happened to be of Hispanic origin because of the last name. I said, well, it's a very common American expression when you say you're lying to yourself. It's another way of saying, hey, you're kidding yourself or you're not being truthful to yourself. Do they not have an instinct of going victim right away?
Cut it out, Alan. Come on. you weren't saying that he was a liar. You were saying you weren't saying that he didn't believe what he was saying. You were saying that he was misguided. That's allowed. That's not mean. That's just
lying. It's a common expression. You're lying to yourself. It's a. At any rate, look, and you know what? This whole idea they don't go to emergency rooms. Illegal immigrants exclusively go to emergency rooms. As a matter of fact, the liberal governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, was trying to pass this idea of insuring all illegal immigrants so they wouldn't use the emergency rooms, which has a higher cost to the taxpayer because it's not reimbursed and it's more money because it's emergency rooms. They were going there for sniffles, for minor infections. And this has been a hallmark of the left saying, well, we got to insure them so that they're not a drain never once considering, hey, why don't we just stop them from coming into the country? Oh, no, that can't be allowed. So anyway, look, you know what? And the thing about it is I like Combs. I really do like Alan Combs. I have been a fan of his as an adequate representative of the left, actually a legitimate representative of the left. For many, many years because his ideas are so easily defeatable. As those of you who saw the segment, it didn't take much. And even then, I had forgotten about that study that Shannon Bream had brought up, which was the CIS study, which basically said the illegal immigrants who have anchor babies in this country, 71% of them are accessing public benefits to one form or another. 71%! That's just the exact opposite of not being able to access public benefits, taxpayer benefits. Whew. Well, that was a very interesting hour. We got more, two more hours coming up. Constitution Revolution and a visit with Mary Ramirez here on Salcedo Show.
888-900-3393.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vices? I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, Chris, you are a conservative Hispanic gentleman, so I'll start with you. What are your thoughts? What do you think that others feel about this term?
Well, my thoughts about the term is it's very descriptive. It's very useful. So I don't see what the problem is. Anchor baby. When I say the phrase anchor baby, everybody knows instantly exactly what subset of people we're talking about, which is why I think the American left works so hard to say, oh, you can't say that. It's offensive or what have you.
That was the appearance on the Kelly File last night from your humble host opposite Alan Combs and the gracious folks of the Fox News Channel and Shannon Bream doing an excellent job at being a moderator. It's been such a whirlwind, folks. I haven't had a chance to cut this up. I'm just playing it for you raw there off of the audio that I pulled down. At the end of this bout, Alan even suggests, hey, you know, or I think it was Shannon Bream who said, we ought to put this on pay-per-view. And Alan says, yeah, a cage match. It ended civilly enough. Let's just put it that way. And I appreciate the repartee because, you know, at the end of the segment, Alan and I can laugh at it and you know, have a disagreement and then move on. We're not seeing that so much these days among his compatriots and left. I think Alan Combs might be the first to admit that things have gotten a little too vitriolic, in particular on the left-wing side. They have forgotten how to handle opposition to their point of view. And that is a problem with the American left because with them, they just seek to shut you up rather than debate you on the merits. Welcome to the second hour of the Chris Salcedo Show, the Broadway studio line, 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. If you want to hook up with the program, let's see, social media. Let's work on that first. On Twitter, at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX, as in Texas. On Facebook, The Chris Salcedo Show. If you want to listen to this program, maybe share it with some of your friends and spread the word. And hello to all you you Fox viewers who may be discovering the program for the very first time. Happy and honored to have you here on board. You can catch us live, blaze.com/radio, Sirius XM, channel 796, the Blaze Radio smartphone app or the iHeartRadio app. On-demand listening. That's how it works here at the Blaze. SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher for content on your schedule. Coming up, for those of you who are new, I can hardly wait to introduce you to our Constitution Revolution segment with none other than Chad Kent. He is, of course, the author of Uncomplicating the Constitution. The premise here on the Salcedo Show, as we looked at the original Constitution, pages, not reams, it was meant to be understood by we the people, so we understood our rights, and more importantly, the limits placed, not on us, but on government. And Chad Kent has been a stalwart ally in making sure that we are informed about what the founding document says and what it doesn't say. Of course, this just happened to conspire like this, folks, that you had Jorge Ramos pulling his shenanigans. You have Donald Trump raising the issue about birthright citizenship. So here comes Chad Kent responding to that. So that's what the Constitution Revolution is on this week. The whole idea of the 14th Amendment, what it's supposed to do, what it's not. Then you've got Mary Ramirez, who's writing in her column this week about this terrible representation for Latinos. Jorge Ramos, someone who brings shame to the Hispanic community by the way he conducted himself and disgraced himself as an alleged journalist. He wasn't behaving as a journalist. He's an advocate. And the fact that he tried to get away with portraying himself as a journalist is a farce to the highest order. So that's what she's talking about. And then here I go, getting an invite to the Kelly file. It just happens to be where we're all centered around this week because of the news cycle and because of what's been going on. That's the Blaze letting you know about, Butler County, Ohio Sheriff Richard Jones, who is talking about a different aspect of the immigration debate. He wants to go after businesses who hire illegal immigrants. This is courtesy of WDTV. Have a listen.
The Butler County Sheriff makes it pretty clear what he thinks about businesses that hire illegal immigrants.
If you're an employer and you're doing this, here's what I'm telling you. Shame on you.
Sheriff Richard Jones sent a tweet directed at businesses that hire illegal immigrants. The sheriff is also encouraging community members to report this kind of behavior. He's assigning one detective to investigate the leads.
If you violate the law and you cheat on the taxes and you knowingly do this with people that are here illegally and you knowingly do that and you encourage it, you have violated the law.
Sheriff Jones says tips are already coming in.
I'll bet. Folks, the reason why Donald Trump is resonating, and I think it's fair to say on this point alone, is that the American people are so sick and tired of Republicans, the Chamber of Commerce Republicans, and almost the entirety of the Democrat Party ignoring them on this issue. It may come as a surprise to a lot of you, but a lot of Democrats don't like the fact that illegal immigration is permitted by our government. It is permitted by our government. They are looking the other way on purpose. There are different, and we've gone over this so many times on this program, but it bears pointing out once again, the Democrats, they need to import a dependent class. They need to import individuals to turn into union representation. Or union members, I should say, so they have initiative by the union so they can continue to utilize their workers' dues to prop up the Democrat Party, much the way that Planned Parenthood funnels taxpayer money, launders taxpayer money into Democrat campaign coffers. Same concept. More egregious, the public employee unions who take taxpayer money through salaries to these individuals, then assess dues and then pass on that money to Democrats, forcing conservatives and Republicans to fund their own political opposition, which is fun, which ought to be stopped tomorrow. All these other considerations going on around the country, and the American people are angry about immigration because they've been sold a bill of goods by the leadership of the Republican Party and the majority of the Democrat Party, that there's just nothing that can be done. We can't do anything about it. Just have to let it happen. And nobody buys it. whether you're talking about birthright citizenship, which the United States is the is one of two countries, and it's phasing out, by the way, in Canada. So it's Canada and the U.S., and it's phasing out this whole birthright citizenship. The rest of the civilized world is going, look, it's unsustainable to have this policy. And America has grown beyond the ability to accommodate birthright citizenship. Because, as I mentioned on the Fox News program, the Kelly File last night, the entitlement state now makes it fiscally impossible to accommodate that portion of our past. It's just, it's not economically feasible anymore. It's bad for the United States of America. And a point I didn't get to bring up on the Kelly File, and praise God I'll have a chance to in the future if they invite me back, is the fact that illegal immigration is bad for the American taxpayer. Illegal immigration is bad for the legal immigrants, a slap to the face, really, of the illegal immigrants into this country. And it is also bad for the illegal immigrant community. You know, I'd invite Alan Combs or any one of these left-wingers to go to sleep at night wondering whether or not your parents are going to be there in the morning. That is a terrifying prospect for a child. And the liberals will say, well, see, that's why we should just allow them to stay. No, that's why we should not allow them to enter in the first place. You're creating problems, and only problems can come when you ignore the law. So now here comes the Butler County, Ohio sheriff saying, hey, businesses, you've had this too good for too long. We're going to start clamping down on you. Bobby Jindal, I know in an era of Trump, it is really hard to get any traction if you are one of the other 17 candidates in the race for the Republican nomination. But Bobby Jindal was confronted with some illegal immigrant or pro-illegal immigrant protesters. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. Plus, Hillary Clinton, I mentioned this in my interview with Sarah Carter. Hillary Clinton is on the ropes. She's getting desperate. She's now calling Republicans terrorists. Now suggesting that Donald Trump's policies are Nazi-esque. She's getting desperate, and there's a reason why. Joe Biden's getting into this race. And the American people are starting to realize that Hillary Clinton could be an indicted Democrat candidate. And the party's in a panic. Where's all this coming from? We have a Hillary Democrat operative confirming for us that not only is the Clinton campaign reeling from it, they also acknowledge who's behind it. Barack Obama. Back in a minute on the Salcedo Show here on The Blaze.
This is The Chris Salcedo Show, The Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show.
Hey, welcome back to your Radio Republic. Unlike your current federal government, your views are heard, listened to, and addressed right here in this program. Telephone numbers, 888-933-93, 888-900-3393. Bobby Jindal. Look, I like Bobby. I really do. He's just not getting a lot of traction. He has some problems at home in Louisiana that he's working through. He's taking a very principled conservative stand. And, you know, when you're trying to change years and years and years of liberal indoctrination and the institution of a series of initiatives instituted by liberals to get people dependent on government, turning that around isn't an easy task. And Bobby Jindal has been facing a lot of headwinds. So his presidential campaign's not getting any traction, but or very little traction. And it's unfortunate because I think he has a pretty good message. Here he is, earning the ire of pro-illegal protesters in Iowa.
When my parents came to this country, they came to this country legally when they came to this country.
Very good.
Now, folks, an immigration policy can either make a country stronger or weaker. A dumb immigration policy makes a country weaker, and that is what we've got today. It is clear to me we need to stop talking about it. We don't need a 1,000-page bill. We don't need a comprehensive approach. It is time to secure the border once and for all. Now, look, we could get it done in 6 months if we were serious. But, look, the reality is you've got big business interests in D.C. that don't want the border secure. They want amnesty. They pay for protesters. They try to silence free speech. I'm here to tell you, we are going to stand up to the big business interest. We don't care.
What is the message from those pro-illegal immigrant protesters anyway? We have a right to be here? No, you don't. No, you don't. The United States of America, if it ever gets serious about this, has the right to determine who comes into this country, period, end of story. It's not because you need to be here as a permission slip for you to be here. Now, are we a kind and compassionate nation? Absolutely. Do we have the capacity or the ability to take on all the world's poor and impoverished who suffer from left-wing policies all over the globe? No, we don't. The solution, after all, is to inspire more Americas around this world. But see, the left-wingers can't wrap their heads around this concept. So instead of inspiring more Americas around the globe so that people don't have to leave their homes, they would rather, well, you know, just allow everybody else from around the world to come in here and partake in what we've got and the hard work that we have done. And our Constitution, which is, hey, look, the Constitution is out there for anybody who wants to read it and duplicate it. If there were despots and dictators who had a shock of conscience and wanted to have a government of, by, and for the people, they rightly could do it. Or if a revolution happened, you know what, that's not that I'm advocating for revolution in Mexico or points to our south, but you shut off that border. I would imagine things would change relatively quickly in Mexico and for the better for the people, because right now you have a government of, by, and for the government in Mexico. It's changing very, very slowly. And right now what you have is a Mexican government that has all the guns. It takes away guns from its people. And you have the drug cartels who are armed to the teeth. So the only people with power and with a voice are the cartels who pay off the aforementioned government, the crooked government. And the people are left to be slaughtered by the aforementioned cartels and to have their rights run roughshod over by a government that really doesn't give a damn about their well-being. It is the Mexican government is a shell, is a inferior government to that of the United States, at least when the United States government is adhered to and lived up to our Constitution. That's why this Jorge Ramos thing, which we're going to get to in the third hour, hot and heavy, was such an affront to me. Here's a guy who's a dual citizen, a Mexican citizen who came into this country, became a U.S. citizen, and doesn't seem to covet any of the values that we hold dear here in the United States. Zero, none. To the point where here he is, he gets on ABC News and Jorge Ramos says, we journalists have to take a stand. No, that's precisely what journalists don't do, sir. Journalism does not take a stand on anything. Journalism asks questions. Journalism reports the facts. They don't take stands. They don't announce their bias. I don't know what it is the hell you're doing, Jorge Ramos. It sure as heck is in journalism. That's for sure. At any rate, this message from the pro-illegal immigrant crowd, I mean, seriously, it's pay attention to us. We have a right to be here, and nothing can be further from the truth. I respectfully say to those illegal immigrants, sit down. We Americans will handle this. We will debate this. Thankfully, we have Donald Trump to elevate this in the public consciousness once again embolden Americans to, no, you're not wrong. As much as the GOP Republican, Chamber of Commerce GOP and the vast majority of Democrats try to tell America that you are wrong for insisting on legal immigration. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. As a matter of fact, you are more right and you are not alone. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of America is against the Chamber of Commerce Republicans and against the vast majority of Democrats on this issue. And recognize that this government has zero credibility on this issue. In short, John McCain, John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Harry Reid, we the people don't trust you on this issue. And you built that. You built that. Then here comes Donald Trump saying, no, not only am I going to talk about it, I'm going to do something about it. And then the Republicans and the Democrats, I don't know why this guy is resonating so much with the fact. I don't understand. I can't stop him. Because people are tired of being ignored by the likes of you. That's it in a nutshell. Let's go to Florida. Mike is hanging the line. Mike, glad you've made it to the Chris Salcedo Show. What's going on, sir?
How are you doing today?
I'm okay. What's up?
All right. Is it possible that since there's no voter ID identification, can we be outnumbered and just knocked out the box? And how is it going to be stamped out?
Well, there is in the state of Texas, I did a report on this when I was in news, did a report on that. There are government checks for felony convictions. There are government checks as to whether or not you are sane. There are government checks as to whether or not you're of age to vote. But there are no government checks for citizenship. Doesn't that seem a little odd to you?
Scary.
Yeah, it does. And there is one political party who is soundly against government checks on citizenship. We call them the Democrat Party. And it's for good reason. Look, man, I wish I had more time to visit, Mike. I got to get to break because the music's playing. On the other side, there's a segment I want you all to listen to. Many of you, because you've reached out to me in an email, are feeling, how should I say, helpless, hopeless. There is a solution to this that some filmmakers want to present to you. It's called God and prayer. Back in a minute.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network. Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
I'm going to try to get to this coming up on the program. Ty, are you aware of this program on NBC called The Carmichaels or The Carmichael Show?
Yes. It just started this week or whatever. I think August 25th.
It's not very good.
Oh, okay. So
the acting isn't that good. The jokes aren't that good. It's all canned laughter. But they are talking about some interesting things on this show. And I don't think I've ever seen it. It centers around a black family. And they're talking. One of the segments is about Black Lives Matter. And the other segment is about one of them becoming a Republican. If I can get to it, I will. Also, folks, I have not forgotten about the horrific attack in Virginia. Another hate crime, just like the one in South Carolina. Another terrorist attack. Hate crime, like the one in South Carolina. We'll get to that in due course here in the course of the program. But not just that, those two horrific shootings. You got the Planned Parenthood video atrocities, the horrors of ISIS, the uneasiness all over this this nuke deal, which threatens to slaughter millions in the name of Mr. Obama and his adoration for Iran. The award-winning filmmaking duo, the Kendrick Brothers, they have made a new movie called War Room. As a call to prayer for believers and pray that it will ignite a great awakening in our nation. Because, you know, when times get this dark, many of us turn to God. And my worry is that a diminishing number of us are turning to God. War Room releases nationwide on August 28th. And Alex Kendrick, one of the co-creators of this film, joining me right now. Hey, Alex, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I really quick story. This is a couple of years ago. I'm a practicing Roman Catholic, and another Christian denomination had showed up to protest at our church, we Catholics. And as if, you know, we weren't doing it the right way is what the allegation was in short. And I got this guy on my radio show, and I said, look, man, I mean, in these dark times, doesn't it make more sense for us to unite as Christians, to unite with our Jewish brothers, and for those who do believe in peace on the Islamic side, to unite with them as well in prayer and peace? And I very much feel that today, that we really need to come together in this environment, because it seems the forces of darkness are on the march.
Oh, this is certainly not the time to be fighting the wrong battles. And mm-hmm. my goodness, if there was ever a time that we do need to unite in prayer and you know, seek the one that does have the answers to all of these issues we're facing, it's certainly now. So I would, you know, it's the reason we made the movie War Room. It's a reminder to fight your battles the right way, fighting them the right way with the right weapons. And so, yeah, we've got to pick our battles very carefully.
There was a famous battle that doesn't get talked very much, because we in America we have a Protestant tradition and from the founding, but this was the Battle of Lepanto was in 1571, I think is when it was, and that the Turkish Empire had assembled a massive navy, and it was an invasion navy heading toward Europe, and Pope Pius gathered together, and there were a lot of this was in the time of the Reformation, and a lot of splintering groups from Christian denominations from the Catholic Church, and the Pope managed to pull together a coalition of Spain and other disparate interests to come together and stand up to this fleet. And the Western world would have looked very different had the Turks won this battle. And
yeah. A
lot of folks say that, at least among Catholics, that the praying of the rosary and the prayer to the divine shifted that battle, which, by the way, the Europeans had an inferior number of ships against this Turkish armada. And it was by divine providence that the battle turned out the way it did.
Yeah, God's going to bring glory to His name. He is interested in honoring His name, and it's what we're interested in, what you're interested in. And again, He says in Scripture over and over, "If you seek Me, you'll find Me. If you seek Me with all your heart." So, everything that's going on in our culture—I mean, racial issues, economic issues, political issues, moral issues—you go on and on. We've put the wrong person on the throne, and that's man, and he's doing a terrible job. And we've got to get back to the one that is on the throne, and we need to honor on the throne, and that's God. And man is doing a horrible job of redefining what's right and wrong, redefining what God has already defined, and it's sickening. And so we're trying to pull a call out for unified prayer back to the one who established us, who created us, and who can bring healing and restoration, and that's what we're about.
Alex Kendrick is my guest right now. The name of the film, he's the co-creator of War Room, hits theaters on, is it coming out to today? Oh, no, actually yesterday. It came out yesterday.
It came out yesterday, and if you go to boxofficemojo.com, you'll see that we're all stunned by this, but we're sitting in the number one spot at the moment.
Well, and I'm not astonished at all, because I really do think that those who are in charge of our media, those who are in charge politically speaking, have focused on and have tried to get the what I call the Brian Williams press focused on many other things, and there is I believe a deep hunger, a deep desire to reconnect with the Almighty. That is
yes.
An undercurrent here in the United States. Would you set up for me the premise? I don't want you to give too much about the film away, because I want folks to go see it, but set up the premise of War Room for me.
Sure. The reason we call it War Room, we got that from what the military does. You know, before they go into a battle, the leaders meet, they come up with a strategy, they call in the resources, disseminate that strategy to the troops in the field, and then engage the enemy. In our prayer life, we too often face our issues and our own logic before committing them to prayer and going to the one who already knows what we should be doing. You know, we need to go to our commander in chief, the Lord. And so in this movie, this elderly widow teaches a young wife whose marriage is falling apart how to go to the Lord first. The widow shows her her prayer closet. She says, "I want you to come in and see this." And she says, "I call this my war room." And in her prayer closet, she has prayer strategies of how to pray scripture over each area of her life, all taped to the walls of her closet. The young wife says, I don't have that much time to pray like this all the time. And the widow says, well, you apparently have enough time to fight with your husband every day. And so she says, why don't you spend time seeking the one who can give you the strategy and help you, and the one that can go before you and knows what you need to be doing. So she teaches the young wife how to fight her battles first in prayer. And you can go see the movie to see what happens. But by the end, consistently we're seeing standing ovations, people leaving saying, this was way different than what I was expecting. And it gives me a hunger and thirst to seek the Lord with all my heart. And that's what we're praying and hoping for, and audiences are responding. I woke up this morning and I could not believe the reports that we were in first place. And we're in a third of the screens. I don't know what this means, but we're begging God to call this nation back to Him.
I do know what it means. And as I said, there is a, when man inevitably fails, and man inevitably does, there's only one place to go, and that is to the perfect, which is the Lord Almighty. Let me play a clip from you that there was a rather famous individual from our nation's past who was very much committed to the spiritual renewal of this nation, and he by and large succeeded, and he laid out the consequences of us turning away from God. Here is Ronald Wilson Reagan. Listen to this.
The more decent the citizens, the more decent the state. If you practice a religion, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, or guided by some other faith, then your private life will be influenced by a sense of moral obligation. And so, too, will your public life. One affects the other. The churches of America do not exist by the grace of the state. The churches of America are not mere citizens of the state. The churches of America exist apart. They have their own vantage point, their own authority. Religion is its own realm. It makes its own claims.
And one more, which I thought was pretty poignant to what you're talking about.
I submit to you that the tolerant society is open to and encouraging of all religions. And this does not weaken us. It strengthens us. It makes us strong. You know, if we look back through history to all those great civilizations, those great nations that rose up to even world dominance and then deteriorated, declined, and fell, we find they all had one thing in common. One of the significant forerunners of their fall was their turning away from their God or gods. Without God, there is no virtue because there's no prompting of the conscience. Without God, we're mired in the material, that flat world that tells us only what the senses perceive. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure.
And I don't know about you, Alex, but that coarsening of the society, we are seeing that, I believe, with recent news events in spades. And it's incredibly disconcerting.
Oh, I totally agree. That gives me chills. Oh, that we would have a leader again that would acknowledge God like that and our dependence on Him. That was incredible.
Yeah, it is. That is one of my favorite clips. And he was speaking before a breakfast of evangelicals in Dallas-Fort Worth at the time. Ronald Wilson Reagan, everybody. Alex, you know what? You've prompted me to go and check out. Before I had booked you for this segment, I hadn't heard of War Room, and what a delightful turn away from the material that we are seeing so much focus on this day. Where can folks go if they want to go check out War Room on a screen near them?
It's in 1,100 theaters. You can go to Fandango.com or WarRoomTheMovie.com to see a listing of theaters. It's in every state, and so far people are turning out in droves, and I pray that this is the Lord prompting them to do this.
And all ages, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, all ages, absolutely. It's PG. There's nothing that's going to offend anyone unless they just don't like the concept of God. But this is a powerful, inspirational movie that is a reminder and a call back to the priority of prayer.
Alex Kendrick, everybody. The name of the film is War Room. It is in theaters, 1,100 screens around the country, and you can go to Fandango and check out where you can catch a screening near you. Sir, I appreciate your time here on the Chris Salcedo Show.
Great to talk to you.
Blessings, brother. All right, more on the other side of the break. On the Salcedo Show, folks, we have the Constitution Revolution. Stick with me.
He is a liberty-loving, Latino, conservative. Need we say more? The Chris Salcedo Show. Only on the Blaze Radio Network. This is the Chris Salcedo Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, got to get right to this. It's a good one, folks. Constitution Revolution with our very own Chad Kent. He is the author of Uncomplicating the Constitution, a great book. A book designed to allow you and I to realize that founding document was meant for you and for me, to be understood by you and me, and so that we could understand the limits not placed on us, but placed on government. This week, Chad tackles the 14th Amendment.
Since Donald Trump's comments about birthright citizenship for illegal immigrants have kept that topic in the news for the last couple of weeks, it seems like now's a good time to pause our Constitution Revolution series and go over the meaning of the 14th Amendment. The relevant part of the 14th Amendment says that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. The dominant belief among the mainstream media and the political class in Washington, D.C., is that this clause creates a constitutional requirement for us to grant birthright citizenship to illegal immigrants. Now, you might want to sit down for this part, but the mainstream media and the politicians are wrong. Any part of the Constitution can only mean what the people who wrote and ratified that part of the Constitution intended it to mean. In this case, what's really cool is that Senator Jacob Howard, the primary writer behind this section of the 14th Amendment, is on record telling us exactly what he intended it to mean. I mean, how cool is that? On the floor of the Senate, Senator Howard said that this amendment would not, quote, include persons born in the United States who are foreigners, aliens, who belong to the families of ambassadors, or foreign ministers accredited to the government of the United States, end quote. Any reasonable person can easily see that illegal immigrants would fit into the category of either foreigners or aliens, and would therefore be excluded from being guaranteed birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment. So, regardless of what your opinion is on the topic of illegal immigration, the facts in this case are clear. There is nothing in the Constitution that requires us to grant birthright citizenship to the children of illegal immigrants. If you enjoyed this segment, then go right now and click on my article about Donald Trump in the contributor section at theblaze.com. That's the Constitution Revolution, and I am Chad Kent for the Chris Salcedo Show.
Mr. Kent's spot-on analysis, as always. Folks, this would be a good time to remind you, we have a special coming up. Illegal immigration, not a victimless crime. This is a focus on this show for those who have lost loved ones due to illegal immigrant felons taking their lives. I'll have more on that to begin the third hour right here on The Blaze.
This is The Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is The Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Okay, who's next? Yeah, please. Excuse me, sit down. You weren't called. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Go ahead. No, you don't. You haven't been called.
I have the right to ask the question.
Go back to Univision. Go ahead.
You cannot deport 11 million.
Go ahead.
From, you cannot deport 11 million people. You cannot build a 1900
Go ahead.
Wall. You cannot deny citizenship.
All right. That was Jorge Ramos of Univision giving a bad name to journalists and giving a bad name to Latinos. I mean, talk about in one, what was that, 30 seconds? One 30-second span, he affirmed every wrong-headed stereotype about Latinos. I mean, what has the left been perpetuating about Latinos for years? They're bunch of lawbreakers coming across the border. They jump ahead in line and everybody, and then they arrogantly demand that their needs be met once they're here into the United States. Right? That's the narrative. And Jorge Ramos just lived up to that narrative. For the record, a lot of illegal immigrants who are here just to work and send home money, they want to stay below the radar. They're not demanding anything of anybody. They just want to work, send money home. Not that that makes it permissible, but only the militant leftists like Jorge Ramos are the ones who say, hey, I deserve to be in America. I deserve to be in the front of the line, and I deserve to cut in front of everybody else. Can you imagine being the other journalist who was sitting there in the audience and Trump was calling on him? And you're next. And then here comes Jorge Ramos. No, you know what? I want to be first. I'm first. Pay attention to me. The arrogance of this man. So journalistically speaking, he got up there and started reading a statement. He was reading a statement. That is the antithesis of journalism. Jorge Ramos is an opinion guy who is a fraud, is a sham to what real journalism is. So not only did he disgrace the journalistic profession, and if I were in that press conference, I wouldn't have been the only one saying, sit down. If I was that reporter who Trump called on, I would say, Jorge, sit down. It's my turn. I got called on. Sit down. If you're going to pretend to be a reporter, follow decorum. That's what I would have said to him. But of course, Jorge Ramos is a legal immigrant who is an alleged minority, who is an American citizen and a Mexican citizen. So there wasn't much backbone by the cowed, politically correct press. Oh, Jorge Ramos ought to thank his lucky stars. I wasn't in the room. Glad you made it, everybody. It's hour three of the Chris Salcedo Show. 888-933-93, 888-900-3393. That's the Broadway studio line. Keeping up with the show, really easy to do on Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX, and on Facebook, the Chris Salcedo Show. Pleasure to welcome to the program. I look forward to our visits every single week. Mary Ramirez, a longtime contributor to the Chris Salcedo Show and to TheBlaze.com in the contributor section there. Mary, welcome.
Hey, Chris. You know, I would have paid money to have had you in the room and watched that reaction after Jorge Ramos did what he did. Mm. And, you know, don't you love the irony of it all? The irony of what he did, it is so representative of exactly what he's demanding and so many illegal aliens are demanding, and that is me first. I don't care about any of the rest of you. It's what I want, and oh yeah, it's a human right because I want it. It's amazing. Yeah, it's incredible.
You know what? It's only the liberal element. I mean, again, every society has extremist left wingers to deal with.
Right.
The idea that Jorge Ramos just basically stereotyped a wrong stereotype every Hispanic in this country, which is precisely what this program exists to push back on that narrative, because, man, I can't tell you after this appearance on the Kelly File, Mary, how many Latinos are saying, oh, thank God. Thank God they put you up there. Thank God because we have no voice. And it bears pointing out, and I didn't get a chance to say this on the Kelly File last night either. You look at who has ever given me a microphone or given me a voice. Hasn't been a liberal. Hasn't been an extremist lib in this country. Hasn't been the Brian Williams press. It has been a conservative who has stepped up and said, no, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. So look, Mr. Ramos perpetuated a stereotype, which isn't reality, but he really affirmed that in the minds of a lot of people, of the arrogant Hispanic, me first. I'm skipping ahead of everybody because I'm special and I demand to be heard. And I demand to have my needs met. I have a right to be heard. Well, yes, you have a right to be heard, but when you're called on, there is a procedure inside of a press conference. Now, Mary, if he had been on a rope line, if Trump was just walking and there was a gaggle of reporters shouting out, I think Jorge Ramos would have been completely within his element, completely within his right to shout out a question. But in a press conference setting, within a press conference setting, absolutely not. And we all remember how the left went nuts when that guy from the Daily Caller, when Mr. Obama wasn't taking questions from the press, when the Daily Caller interrupted him in a speech in the middle of the Rose Garden. Oh, that's a breach of decorum. That's a breach. That's just not civil, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? Jorge Ramos, in a setting where Donald Trump was taking questions, breached decorum as well. And I know I'm taking a lot of your time. So what was your piece on this week?
Absolutely, Chris, and no problem. Well, and that's the thing. That is, it's Donald Trump's event, so Donald Trump can call on whoever he wants to call on. And I'm sorry, Jorge, if you don't like that, but you are in attendance at Donald Trump's event. You know, with my article this week, you know, I focus on that scuffle, but I also went back to what Ramos did a few days prior to that exchange. He filmed a video for Fusion, I believe, Fusion.com, where he also is employed, a response to Trump's immigration plan, claiming that it would create a massive human rights violation for seeking to deport those here illegally. And among other things, he predictably brought up the separation of families that would occur in his mind when the illegal parents of anchor babies, as you were discussing last night on Kelly File, would be deported, which, by the way, and I point this out in the article, that separation would only occur if parents chose to leave their children behind, which is why I brought up in my article the story of Patty Newman, one of your listeners, and I had the honor of interviewing a couple of months ago. She was born here in the United States of two Mexican nationals, and her parents chose not to use her as an anchor and took her back to Mexico, and now she's come back to live here today. You know, but that's the thing. The separation that Ramos is talking about would only occur if the parents were to leave their kids behind. But that aside, Ramos's entire premise, his entire argument, what he did there at the press conference, what he did with this video, is based on a contorted and perverted understanding of human rights. And in this day and age, we're pretty fast and loose with the term human rights. And as I noted in my piece, people like Ramos are just lightning fast to cry racism or bigotry anytime those purported human rights aren't recognized. And in this anchor baby conversation, in this illegal immigrant conversation, it's deemed hateful to refer to children who are used by their parents as an excuse to continue breaking the law as anchors. And here's the thing. Here's what I really want to drive home to listeners and readers. Wanting something because it is beneficial to you doesn't make it a human right. I mean, if that's the case, then every gym membership in the country should be free because it's good for you. It should be a human right. It's ridiculous.
Great point.
You know, being in the United States is a good thing. It's a blessing, and I kiss the ground I walk on, but it doesn't make it a human right. And I love the hypocrisy of left-wingers like Ramos who demand that we must compart our country with everyone who wants it, but then routinely criticizes the United States and its standing in the world. It's incredible to me.
You know who's to blame for that, the proverbial child, and there are many of them, who are U.S. citizens, and I, as I said last night on the Kelly File, wrongly so, but that's, we consider them to be U.S. citizens.
Right.
They go to sleep at night wondering whether mom and dad will be deported, and they live in fear of that reality every single day of their lives. It is not America's fault that has happened. It is left-wingers and extremists like Jorge Ramos who are to blame for that sorry situation we find ourselves here in this country. This advocacy of his and the advocacy of the GOP Chamber of Commerce and the majority of Democrats has led to this sorry situation. I'm sorry, you ignore your laws for over 40 years, and there are ramifications. Right. There are consequences to that, and it hurts the American taxpayer. It hurts the legal immigrant, of which you have a very unique insight to, Mary, and it also hurts the illegal immigrant community. Jorge Ramos ought to look in the mirror. You want to know why these people are in pain? It's your fault, Mr. Ramos.
Exactly. Well, and Chris, if I can point out one more thing quickly, in this whole 14th Amendment debate, we're talking about these children, okay? I mean, I know we can talk about the interpretation of it, but if the founders intended for the 14th Amendment to provide citizenship to children of illegals, then why didn't they provide a provision for the parent? I'm curious. Because if that child is legal, fine. But that doesn't change the fact that the parents are still illegal. That's
well,
the
you
problem.
Know, if you were to ask Jorge Ramos, he would probably say, well, the founders of this country were just mean-spirited
Precisely.
Conservatives, and that's why they're racist, and they set out to destroy these illegal immigrants who were dragged kicking and screaming into this country. Oh, wait a minute. Well, that didn't happen. Actually, the exact opposite happened. You know what, Jorge Ramos, since you're still a Mexican citizen, Mr. Ramos, might I suggest you head back into Mexico and maybe inspire that government to become a government of, by, and for the people. You'd do the Mexican people a lot more good instead of saying, oh, they have a right to be here in the United States, which they don't. Mary Ramirez, she is, of course, a longtime contributor to the Chris Salcedo Show. You can find her piece at theblaze.com/contributor. Mary, what's the name of the piece?
Sure, Chris. It's Breaking the Law is Not a Human Right, Why Jorge Ramos is Wrong.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, speaking of beautiful, thank you for the picture of the baby on Instant Message. She, folks, if you get a chance to see Mary's a picture of Mary's baby, the first thing you're going to say is what I say. Look at all the hair, man. That was absolutely beautiful.
She's a sweetheart. We love her to death.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it. Thanks for being here on the Salcedo Show, as always. All right, up next, let's deal with Mrs. Clinton, shall we? Not only that, we have to deal with Mrs. Clinton and the fact that Joe Biden's going to get into this race. We also have to deal with another horrific terrorist attack, hate crime, perpetrated on American soil in Virginia. Back in a minute on the Salcedo Show.
The next generation of talk radio. The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
You're listening to the Latino conservative, Chris Salcedo, on the Blaze Radio Network.
Just got an instant message on Facebook from a listener named Mike, who thinks that some of these attacks, again, this attack in Virginia, really horrific. A black man, a gay black man, guns down two white journalists on live television. And of course, it's not reported that way. This man in his manifesto wanted a race war, just like Dylann Roof did. The American left and the Brian Williams press immediately said that, well, Dylann Roof, just like every conservative out there, just like every Republican out there, that's the Dylann Roof, Republican poster child, conservative poster child. I jumped on liberal Fred's Facebook page. And as soon as the word hit of this horrific tragedy, folks, I used to be a television reporter. Used to have to go in live shots just like this all the time. I don't think I didn't call a couple of old friends saying, hey, watch your back. But here's a guy, gay, black, and a staunch Obama supporter. How do we know this? This man was sanctioned by his television station for wearing an Obama sticker while he was a reporter on the air. Again, apparently this psychopath who gunned down these two white journalists came from the Jorge Ramos school of journalism, where you're an advocate. So Jorge Ramos in the same camp with Vester Flanagan, at least as far as their take on journalism, which is advocacy. So anyway, he's an Obama supporter, so I put it to all the left-wingers on liberal Fred's page. Well, since you all tried to say that Dylann Roof was a representative of conservatism in the GOP and equaled America, in essence, so too, by using your standard, so you guys must all be representative of this deplorable human being because he was a man of the left. Black individual who was gay, who was a staunch Obama supporter. So he must reflect on all of you in a similar way you tried to make Dylann Roof reflect on all of us. Oh, you should have seen these people. They were through the roof. They don't like the same standard they put on us to be employed on them. I wish you could have seen it, Ty. It was something to marvel and watch. Two of them finally said, you know, I think Chris has a point here. I think we should focus on the deed rather than having this become an ideological discussion. And I said, hallelujah. I reached one. The other one said that Chris Salcedo was right. This was a hate crime. You know, Liberal Fred tried to say that, well, the South Carolina shooting was a hate crime and a terrorist attack, but this Vester Flanagan, it wasn't. He was just a sick person.
No, it's clearly they were both hate crimes.
Clearly, they both wanted a race war, right?
And people can't be hypocritical. I was furious. In fact, I was furious. And there, as far as this political season goes, I actually crossed off a couple candidates who weren't comfortable calling it a hate crime. If you couldn't say that, you're out. That's why Ben Carson, for example, Carly Fiorina, they both said clearly it was a hate crime. They actually rose in stature for me. This is the same thing. Another hate crime. He told us. You didn't have to ask the question. He said it in his manifesto that that's what this was about. It was a hate crime, period.
Agreed. And again, what is the definition of terrorism? Committing violence to achieve a political end. Dylann Roof did it. So too did Vester Flanagan. By any definition, terrorist attack, and also a hate crime. So, Liberal Fred actually showed up on the Houston show this week, and we had it out back and forth, and he ultimately said, "You know what? Now that I've heard your reasoning," and he came around too. So I saved three liberals at least on this case tie this week. So there you go.
That's. Oof. You deserve a medal.
Well,
you had a heck of a week.
Thank
Kelly file and that.
I know, right? All right. We'll save souls one at a time. So while all this was going on, this phrase uttered by a consigliere of Barack Obama has taken on new meaning.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
And who was the first person to jump on this bandwagon? None other than the flailing campaign of Hillary Clinton.
I will extend my condolences and sympathies to their families and to their co-workers. I will also reiterate, we have got to do something about gun violence in America.
Oh, yes. Applause. Something. Got to do something. Congratulations. What is that something? Specifics? Oh, I don't know, but we got to do something. She was the first to politicize this, to go after the guns. Next was the extremist left-wing governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe. Then the White House jumped in.
There's another example of gun violence that is becoming all too common in communities large and small all across the United States. There are some common sense things that only Congress can do that we know would have a tangible impact in reducing gun violence in this country.
Really? We know. Tangible. Would it have stopped this incident? Would it have stopped South Carolina, Josh? No. There's nothing under consideration that would have stopped these incidents. We all know what you liberals want. You want all guns to go away. And I will agree with you so long as you liberals can guarantee me that all weapons will not be manufactured across the globe. Period. End of story. Unless and until you can guarantee me that, you will not disarm me, a law-abiding citizen, and leave me at the mercy of the criminal element who will get their hands on the guns because they do not adhere to laws. Thank you kindly. What was Resident Obama's take on all of this?
It breaks my heart every time you read about or hear about these kinds of incidents. What we know is that the number of people who die from gun-related incidents around this country dwarfs any deaths that happen through terrorism.
Can you believe that? This no, Boko Haram, Al Qaeda, ISIS. Who am I missing? The all the terrorists in Africa, Hamas, Hezbollah. All of that murder and mayhem is eclipsed by American gun violence. Right.
The Chris Salcedo Show. We'll be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show. Conservative talk radio with spice.
She had so much potential. And, you know, it's senseless that her life and Adam's life were taken by a crazy person with a gun. And, you know, if I have to be the John Walsh of gun control and, you know, I'm for the Second Amendment, but there has to be a way to force politicians that are cowards and in the pockets of the NRA to come to grips and make sense, have sensible laws so that crazy people can't get guns. It can't be that hard.
Sandy Parker, whose daughter was murdered on live television by a racist, by an individual who wanted to instill terror, you have to excuse him for his grief. I think his sentiments he will come to find as he comes down from a pain that no parent should ever have to go through. And he starts his advocacy for gun control. He will start saying, you know, yeah, we ought to have a law that prevents crazy people from getting guns. And then he'll be informed that law exists. It's just not being funded and it's not being administered. So the laws exist. Tell me the law that would have prevented this. And I'll look at it. And if it maintains civil liberties and it maintains our fundamental right of self-defense, I'll support it. But I will not give up my right to self-defense. It is a God-given right that is enshrined inside of the U.S. Constitution. I will not give it up voluntarily for some illusion of security. And that's what it would be. An illusion of security. There is not a cop on every corner. There is when trouble strikes at your home and seconds count, the police are minutes away. Get armed. The solution here in an armed world where liberals will not be able to guarantee that the criminal element will not have access to weapons. They can't guarantee it. And they're a fool if they think they can. Your best hope is to protect yourself and to disincentivize the criminal element from coming after you. Period. End of sentence. Martin O'Malley, you guys know that name. He was the one that was responsible for instituting those zero tolerance policies that necessitated the Baltimore riots. Yeah, that guy. Former governor of the state, former mayor of Baltimore. Had this to say at a DNC event. He's still ticked off.
We are the Democratic Party, not the undemocratic party. If we are to debate, the topic should be how many, not how few. Because when the lights come up on our stage, we will speak to where America is going, not to where we have been.
Okay, a bunch of pablum there, but in essence, what I wanted you to focus on was Martin O'Malley's ticked that the Democratic National Committee is protecting Hillary. The entire DNC strategy was protecting Hillary. They've geared it. She's the one. No matter what you libs and you Democrats think about Bernie Sanders or anybody else who happens to be declared in this race, Joe Biden would change the DNC's calculation. He would force them to. But that's why there are only six Democrat debates. And Martin O'Malley's ticked off about that. He goes, wait a minute. How am I supposed to get Democrat voters to let them know that I'm superior to Hillary Clinton if I can't debate her? Mrs. Clinton has had the least transparent campaign in U.S. history, and the DNC is now helping her have the least transparent debate season by limiting her exposure, because the DNC knows the more that Hillary Clinton is exposed, the less people like her, and they really want her in there. They really do. So there's Martin O'Malley ticked off at Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC. Meanwhile, Hillary's out there saying things like this.
Marco Rubio brags about wanting to deny victims of rape and incest access to health care, to an abortion.
Oh, yes. Health care equals abortion. Anybody buying that? Hillary Clinton is so stupid, she actually thinks that abortion equals health care. I think the baby would have a word or two to say about that if it had the opportunity. See, healthcare means you promote health. And nobody can say that an abortion promotes the health of the baby. As a matter of fact, the whole point is to deny health care to the baby. Isn't that not what the point of an abortion is? And tell me how a woman's body benefits from an abortion. Just go ahead, Hillary. I'll wait. Tell me how the woman's body and her health is advanced by an abortion. I'll wait. Go ahead. Oh, that's right. Abortion is not health care. And you are disingenuous and delusional if you think it is.
Jeb Bush says Planned Parenthood shouldn't get a penny. Your governor right here in Ohio.
Why should they get a penny? They make over 600 G's every year by aborting kids. Why should they? Look, Hillary, why don't you tell me why an organization that makes over $600,000 a year deserves taxpayer money? Gee, that's a rather 1% view to look at it, might I suggest, Hillary? Are you out there fighting for those who make over $600,000 a year to continue to get taxpayer subsidies? Is that what you're doing, Hillary?
And state funding for some rape crisis centers because they sometimes refer women to other health facilities that do provide abortions. I would like these Republican candidates to look the mom in the eye who caught her breast cancer early. She was able to get a screening for cancer.
Oh, so wait a minute. The abortion equals cancer screening now. Oh, wait a minute. That goes against everything that I have been taught about human anatomy, that cancer screening is the same as abortion. That's, Ty, you ever heard of such a thing? I never heard of it. So here she is conflating.
That's new to me.
Yeah, I know. New to me, too. Here she is conflating. Oh, well, it's healthcare. Abortion, you know, abortion, abortion and cancer screenings. And she, and well, of course, who Jonathan Gruber referred to as the stupid people. Remember Jonathan Gruber, that extremist left winger from the architect of Obamacare? Mrs. Clinton is talking to those who Mr. Gruber called the stupid people. Oh, they're applauding, too.
Or the teenager who didn't get pregnant because she had access to contraception.
And Planned Parenthood is the only person, the only organization out there providing contraception. Did you guys know that? Did you know that Planned Parenthood is the only place where you can get cut? No, because it's not true. It's not true at all. And contraception isn't that expensive. I mean, male contraception isn't expensive at all. Not at all. There are community clinics out there that provide free contraception, taxpayer funded free contraception. Why go through Planned Parenthood, Mrs. Clinton?
Who's ever been protected by an HIV test. Now, extreme views about women, we expect that from some of the terrorist groups. We expect that from people who don't want to live in the modern world. But it's a little hard to take coming from Republicans.
So there is Hillary Clinton comparing Republicans to terrorists. Mrs. Clinton supports a group that has former employees telling us stories of how they open up fully formed aborted children's chest cavities and restart their hearts with an electrode and then proceed to harvest their brains while the heart is still beating. Activities that we have not seen since 1940s Germany. You know, the Nazis. So, Mrs. Clinton, if Republicans, if you think it's fair to call Republicans terrorists, then it is also fair to call you a Nazi for supporting the most barbaric example of humanity that exists in America today, and that's Planned Parenthood. The very idea of selling human body parts for profit. That's worthy of the Nazi Party of the 1940s in Germany, Mrs. Clinton. And you have full-throated support for these butchers. So, if all is fair in a failing campaign, chew on that. Doug Schoen, he is a Clinton advisor and a longtime Democrat strategist and pollster, showing up on Fox News Channel and describing the attitudes of the Democrat Party in general.
Here's what they're saying. They're saying that Hillary is showing consistent and systematic slippage in the primary polling.
Slippage, is that kind of like shrinkage? But no.
She is slipping vis-a-vis both Biden and Bernie Sanders. She is slipping in the general election polling, and her integrity ratings are slipping as well. Sanders has so far held a pretty strong hold on second place, but the Quinnipiac numbers show that the publicity around the prospective candidacy of the vice president, Biden, is going up. Put another way, Martha, there is sheer panic. Newsmax said Bill Clinton is very agitated about Biden. Put another way, bad day in Clinton land.
Oh, yes. Bad day indeed. The Quinnipiac poll asked an open-ended question. If you were going to give a word that you could associate with this particular candidate, what would the word be? They asked that of Mrs. Clinton, and the first place finisher was the word liar. In there was untrustworthy as well. Dishonest was in there as well. For Mrs. Clinton, top three. That's how the folks view her, and the folks are right. Now, here Doug Schoen admits to the Fox News channel that, you know, you got to remember, folks, where these stories are coming from Reuters, from the Washington Post, from New York Times. Who is telling them about Mrs. Clinton's vulnerability, about her unprecedented move to conduct all of her government business on a private server? Nobody's ever done that before, by the way. Nobody has ever conducted all of their government business on a private server before. Mrs. Clinton is the first. And who's telling everybody about it? It's the Obama White House.
We could sugarcoat it. I've worked for the Clintons for a while. I thought the email scandal would go away. Clearly, I was wrong. It's not going away. It's a serious investigation. Monica, in fairness, has been speaking about it, has been speaking about the president's role in facilitating the vice president's prospective candidacy.
Yeah.
And I think Monica has the right to tell me and certainly the audience, told you so.
Told you so. Monica Crowley, our good pal here on the Chris Salcedo Show, she wrote about this. It's Team Obama undermining Hillary. And Doug Schoen just admitted to the entire country that Hillary knows it. Back in a minute. This is Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
He is quickly becoming the left's favorite pinata. Only problem is, this pinata hits back. Chris Salcedo. Oh, on the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo.
Ty, I can't believe you're not going to be here next weekend. You know what you're going to miss. By the way, Ty is celebrating his anniversary with his bride. So I can't, you know, there's no, he didn't get the memo. There's no such thing as a vacation on this program. But next week is our special, Illegal Immigration, Not a Victimless Crime. It is a 3-day event. We'll kick it off on Thursday in Houston. Our celebrity listener will be Sheriff David Clark. Right here from the Blaze and Milwaukee Sheriff, an increasing proponent of law and order here in the United States of note. So honored beyond belief to have him there. On Friday in Dallas on the Chris Salcedo Show, Dallas-Fort Worth, we will have the second portion of Illegal Immigration, Not a Victimless Crime, where we'll be hearing from the families of those who had their loved ones ripped from them by illegal immigrant felons. Our celebrity listener that day will be GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. And then wrapping things up here on that Saturday on the Blaze Radio Network, the final installment of Illegal Immigration, Not a Victimless Crime. The Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas, Dan Patrick, will be here to be our celebrity listener as we provide a platform to these people who have been ignored by the Republican Chamber of Commerce folks, by the whole of the Democrat Party, and by the Brian Williams press. Your stories will get out. You will not be ignored any longer. Hope you folks can make it. Spread the word about what we're doing here on the Salcedo Show. Spread the word too about my good buddy Slater Crusaders. Mike Slater is here and about ready to take over the microphone. Mike, what do you got coming up on the program?
Man, that is good stuff. I got to reflect on what that is and everything you just said. And I can't believe that Ty would choose his wife over you.
That is
choosing
amazing.
His family over work. Unbelievable. You How know, ungrateful.
It really does undermine the whole brotherhood thing, doesn't it? I mean, really, it does.
Coming up, I want to talk about the three Americans on that train in France. I know it was a week ago, so we're supposed to be a bunch of news cycles past that. But, I mean, these Americans saved dozens, if not over 100 lives. So I want to talk about them. Three aspects of what they did that I found so impressive. And also what that has to do with the rise in the popularity of Donald Trump. We're tying it all together, Salcedo. We're tying it together.
Did you hear what the father said of one of those heroes over in France?
No.
He was on MSNBS, and at the end of his interview, I think it was Tamron Hall, he told her, he said, "Can I say one thing before I go?" And he said, the politically correct crowd in the United States needs to get off their duffs and get out of the way because terrorism is real.
Well, Mike, that's why you're here.
All right, buddy. Thanks, he takes over next. Look forward to the show. Remember, everybody, a society's worth isn't measured by how much power is seized by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for we the people. I'm Chris Salcedo. Honored to have you all on board. We'll see you next weekend on Saturday and on the Chris Salcedo shows in Houston and Dallas next week.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.